Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso, and I hope you've been enjoying the first couple of episodes that I've released. I really want to create a community, so please go to investormama.com/connect. That's investormama.com/connect. Here you can join the Facebook group. You can also leave me feedback on ways to improve the show, questions you may have, and anything else you would like to share. Also, if you have not already done so, please subscribe and leave a review on the platform you are listening to. Now, for today's episode, we are here with Tiffany Thomas, Wealth Mentor. Tiffany became lean financially free at age 38 by investing in herself, the stock market, and real estate. She inspires, educates, and mentors women to joyfully fast-track their financial freedom. She's an author, YouTube personality. Tiffany's all over the place. You can find her content everywhere. She's really great. I'm really excited to have her here today and share her story. I think my audience is going to really relate to her and just find her inspirational. Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm really excited for today's conversation. But before we jump in, why don't you give us your background and how you got started on the path to financial independence?
Yeah, for sure. I actually would spend a lot of time in the lunchroom at my previous job with one of my coworkers, and we would just be talking about how much we're going to need to retire. And we couldn't figure it out. We were thinking, are we going to need $1 million, $3 million? And we talked about it all the time. And I eventually discovered that people were retiring in their 30s and 40s, and some even in their 20s. And I just thought, what? This is crazy. I want to do that. And so I started doing a lot of research on how people were doing that and figuring out the math on how much it would take to retire. So they would take their annual expenses and times it by 25, and that was the number they were working toward. And yeah, I just did a lot of research on that and thought it was a great path to be on, just to have that freedom and not have to worry about having a steady job in case something did go wrong and I was to get laid off. But just starting on that path to financial independence was really a game changer for me.
So about how old were you at this time?
I was probably, I think, maybe 36. So it was just a few years ago, not that long ago.
Oh, and were you already on the path without knowing it, or were you in debt? What was your background at the time that you had this epiphany?
I was a big saver at this time, and I did have my own house that I was living in and one other real estate property. So I was kind of on the path, but I didn't really realize it. And once I had realized that it was really important to invest your money, not just save it, I really started investing more of my money and investing more in real estate as well. It kind of evolved over time.
So once you came to the realization, financial independence, it's real, I can do this, what were some of the steps you took to put you in an even better position than you already were at this time?
Yeah, so I started reducing my spending. And I wasn't out of control and going into debt or anything like that, but I just wasn't as focused in my spending as I could have been. I was buying a lot of clothes. I would go shopping a lot with my friends. So like you do.
Like everyone does.
It's okay. Right? So I realized that's not really a priority for me. So I cut back on a lot of that extra spending that wasn't really important and started putting that money for a down payment on another property. So I took small steps like that and just really focusing on spending on what my priorities were instead of frivolous spending and really focusing on, okay, how can I make my money work for me so that I can reach this goal even sooner? And that's why I started investing more in real estate, but even in the stock market too.
aren't women not supposed to own real estate, or don't they need to be in a couple to own a real estate? That's what I was told, or that's what society tells me. So did you have any obstacles or challenges?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because that's usually how it goes. And when I tell people that I've invested in real estate, and they're like, wait, by yourself? What? You have how many properties? And I'm like, yeah, you can do it. And it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't terrible, and I didn't get people being rude to me or something when I was going into a lender and getting a loan or anything like that. But it was just more surprising to people that I was doing that on my own, because like you said, I'm not married. I'm not a couple going in on a property together. I was just taking the initiative and being like, I can do this, and did it. And I got advice along the way. I have a couple mentors. I have an old boss and then a friend that also invests in real estate, and they're really successful with it. And so I asked them a ton of questions and did a lot of research as well. But luckily no one was, you know, super mean to me. They were just kind of surprised.
No, that's awesome. Well, I'd like to dive a little bit into learning about the properties you have and how you acquired them. Are you investing in your hometown? Are you investing out of state? How many do you have now?
Yeah, so I have 4 properties total, including the one that I live in, and I invest in state. So I bought my first property in 2005, so quite a while ago, and I had roommates living with me, so they helped pay the mortgage, and that's a townhouse. And then I bought another property in 2015, and that's just a condo, so it's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo, and that was a rental investment. I didn't live in that one at all. And I had saved quite a bit of money, so I was able to do a down payment for that condo. And then the third property, I actually bought that and moved into it, so I wouldn't have to have as much for a down payment, and it's a townhouse. And then I bought another property last year, and that's a single family home. And I actually cashed out some of my stocks that I had in the stock market to put that toward the down payment. And they're all within about 15 minutes of each other. So I manage them myself. I wanted to keep them all close and local to make it easier for me.
That's awesome. And what town are you in?
I'm in Salt Lake City.
When you first decided you wanted to own some properties, what were some of the first steps you took, not from owning your own home, but from as an investor standpoint, to make you feel comfortable enough to actually take the leap and do it? Because I feel like a lot of people talk about it, but then to actually go out and do it is something completely different.
Right. That's so true. One of the things I did, I talked to my friend that was really successful with real estate, and I asked him, how have you been so successful? And asked him for any tips that he had and what he looks for in properties. So I got advice from people that were successful with real estate. And then I got my own idea on what I wanted it to look like. And I wanted to start with a small property because I am a single woman and I'm not a great handyman, whatever you want to call it. Well, I just wanted a smaller property that would be easier to maintain. So I chose a condo because I wouldn't have to do any yard maintenance or replace the roof or anything like that. And then I ran the numbers and they made sense to me on how much I could get the property cash flowing when I put renters in there. So I did homework and I thought, okay, I can have this much for a down payment and probably rent it for this amount, and my mortgage would be this amount. So I just made sure that the numbers would work for me, for my situation. And then I just did it.
This is awesome.
Yeah. I took those few steps beforehand, getting advice and asking what other people were doing that were successful with it, and then making sure I felt comfortable. And then I took action.
This is just great. And I'm just thinking, for someone who's never invested or is maybe thought of real estate or thinks this is like, oh my God, how could I even do it? So the first steps, it sounds like you took, where you really did your homework, you networked with people who were already successful, you ran numbers, which I'm curious. So it sounds like you got information to be able to feel comfortable knowing how much you could afford, knowing how much it would cash flow. Who did you meet? How did you get those numbers? How did you feel comfortable? I want to really dive into it so that if I'm someone who's never done any of this before and I don't even know where to begin, where do I start?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is know how much you can afford to put down on the house. So if you're just buying a rental property, you have to put down 20% of the purchase price. So you want to make sure that you have that amount, and then you can start to look for properties that are going to be in your price range. And I just went online and saw how much rent was the price of rent in that area.
What websites did you use to calculate rent?
So there's a really popular one in Utah, and it's called KSL. It's kind of like Craigslist, but a lot of people post their properties on that website. And so I went to that one, and I also looked at Zillow. That's another popular one, and looked at properties in that area and how much the rent was posted for. So those were two main websites that I use.
And to figure out how much you could afford, I'm assuming you spoke to a mortgage broker or someone to help navigate, or how much you needed for, I know 20%, I think you need for a down payment, but I've also heard sometimes 15%, 25%. I think it depends on your situation and the type of property you're purchasing.
Yeah, it could vary a little bit. Most of the time it'll be 20% if it's just a rental. But yeah, that could vary if depending on your lender or something. So yeah, that was the next step. So I went to a few different lenders and they gave me good faith estimates, and they broke down their closing costs and what the interest rate would be and the actual mortgage payment. So I had a pretty good idea on those numbers, because I did go to different lenders and I went with the one that had, you know, the best rate and the lowest closing costs, the one that I would have to pay the least amount and was still a good reputable lender.
I know closing costs also vary per state, but in Utah, approximately how much should someone budget for closing costs?
That's a good question. So if you're buying a property that's around $130,000, I want to say maybe $4,000 in closing costs, maybe not quite that much.
Because I know in Jersey, you'd want just to cover anywhere between 10 to 15. 15 is on the high side, depending obviously on where and situation, but you want to factor in a lot. So if you are thinking of buying a property, make sure you include that in your cost with the down payment.
Right. And depending on the market, sometimes the seller will pay the closing costs. But if it's a seller's market, then the buyer could pay the closing costs. So I would factor that in just to be safe. And yeah, that's really high for New Jersey. Utah is not that much.
Yeah, that's why we're looking to invest out of state, because it's so crazy expensive here.
Good idea.
Looking for a side hustle that's flexible, doesn't take a ton of time, and can generate some serious cash? I'm talking an extra $1,000 to $2,000 a month. Well, creating Facebook ads is the perfect thing for you. Not sure what that is or how you can actually profit? Check out the Facebook ad course created by Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt from Laptop Empires. This course teaches you step by step on how to profit from helping businesses and individuals with their Facebook ads. I personally purchased the course and went through it. Check out the link in the show notes to get more information on their course. When you were running through your numbers, did you factor in other costs to make sure you would still cash flow, like capital expenses, like if the roof goes, or hot water heater, or maybe maintenance if you need to go buy a new light bulb, or vacancy, things that into your numbers as well?
Yeah, I did figure those in as well. And also, since it was a condo, it had an HOA, a homeowners association fee, that I would have to pay every month. So I made sure to include that cost as well. And since it was a condo, I wouldn't have to replace the roof or have something super expensive. Of course, appliances I would have to replace, but I did factor that in, and it's kind of hard to know. And that's why I try to invest in newer properties, not brand new, but ones that aren't going to have a ton of maintenance, or that I'm going to need to replace a lot of things right away. And if it was empty for a month or two, then yeah, I factor that in. So you kind of have a buffer so you can be safe.
That's awesome. So you decided you want to buy a property, you set your criteria for what you're looking for, you run your numbers, you make sure you're conservative in what you're thinking, but that you still cash flow, you purchase this property. Now, okay, you have to find a tenant. What do you do? Because I know a lot of people think, again, how could I do this? Or if I'm a mom and I have kids and a family and all this, I don't have time. I don't even know where to look, or I don't want to deal with tenants. I don't want to deal with that. So I'm curious how you found your first set of tenants, things you could recommend, or things you can say definitely don't do, to help anyone who's listening that really wants to do this but has all these self-doubts in the back of their mind.
So finding tenants, I posted my listing on a few different websites, one of them being Zillow. And when you post to Zillow, they post to a couple other websites, I think Hotpads, and I can't remember the other one. but that's a really good resource for posting on there. And then I posted on KSL, which is a popular site in Utah. So probably Craigslist in other areas might be a good option. And then I also post on Facebook in a Facebook group. That's another great resource. Sometimes there's housing groups on Facebook in your area, and you can look for those and post your listing on Facebook as well. And yeah, I just make sure the listing has really good pictures. You want a place to look nice. And then I make everything really clear in the description on what's included, exactly how much rent is, what the deposit is. And I do a background and a credit check. I think that's really helpful as well, because some of the people that I've had come look at my properties, and I tell them, okay, I'm going to run a background and a credit check. And some of them had said, okay, well, you're going to find this and this on my background. They're pretty honest when they know you're going to run that background and credit check. And then you can decide whether or not to rent to them, of course. But I would definitely recommend doing that. And I won't go under a 600 credit score. And even 600 is low, because you want to have them pay rent.
So have you had any horror stories with tenants that you've had to deal with?
I haven't had anything super terrible. I did have one lady who had gotten behind on rent. She actually owes me money, so I am taking her to small claims. So I'm in the process of that. But for the number of tenants I've had, she was the worst one. And it wasn't like she was destroying my property or anything like that. It was just that she had gotten behind on rent for a little bit. So I did have that. But for the most part, most of my tenants have been really, really good. I feel really fortunate, honestly.
That's great. And even though this issue with the small claims court, is this going to deter you from buying other properties or to continue on your path to financial independence?
No, because I've totally learned from that experience.
What would you do differently, or what would you changed?
I guess I didn't screen her as well as I should have. So her credit score was a little bit low, and she did have some things on there that I was like, it should be okay. I think she'll be fine. But I'll just be more strict about that now. And if someone gets late on their payments, I will be more strict and give them a firm deadline. If they don't pay, then I'm going to need to evict them. Taking the steps, being more strict going forward and learning from the past is how I'm treating that. So I'm not deterred at all from investing in real estate because of that one experience.
So do you have goals to purchase more properties?
I do want one more property, and I don't know exactly when I'll buy that. I bought my last one just last year. So I think I'm going to wait for a little bit to buy the other one, but I do want one more property. I think that would be good.
That's awesome. And now I want to go back a little bit. I know we got a little into the real estate, but I just think it's so important, because I do believe real estate can be such a fantastic vehicle to escalate your path to financial independence. But I feel a lot of moms are afraid to jump in, or they don't want to handle everything by themselves and how to navigate it and figure it out. But I'm assuming also on your path to financial independence, you've had other types of investments. And I'd love to learn more of what other strategies you've been using to reach it at such a young age, to be financially independent. Again, that's a concept that's so foreign to people. They want it, but to actually go out and do it is very difficult.
Right. It can be really hard. And I do love real estate investing. And another avenue that I used was investing in the stock market. I invest in index funds, and I also invest in individual stocks. I know a lot of people don't really do that in the financial independence community, but I've seen such high returns on my individual stocks that I really like doing that. And I'm not a day trader or anything like that. It's more of the long-term investing. I just pick basically good, stable companies and plan to hold them for as long as possible.
Do you have any strategies for picking these companies or criteria that you've set?
Yeah, I look at companies that have been in business for a while, and they seem to be companies that will stay stable companies. So I'm not looking at newer companies that are popping up. It's more like Google, Amazon. I've invested in Netflix. And when I invested in Netflix, it was a little bit newer, but a lot of my friends were already using it, and I could see the potential of that company. And so I went ahead and invested in Netflix, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did well with that.
So what's it like to be FI? Are you still working? What are you doing to keep busy? Because again, another myth, I would never want to retire because I'd be bored. And so I'm going to work forever and not even bother to do it.
Right. So
sorry, I get really fired up about this stuff when I hear these like excuses from people. I'm like, really? Come on. Anyone can do this. Just let's go.
I agree. Yeah. The thing is, you sure, if you love your job, you can stay there. But when you have financial independence, you have that freedom to pursue your passions. And that's what I'm doing right now, is pursuing one of my passions and helping to educate women about investing their money and about how to become financially free at a young age. So that's what I'm doing, is doing what I'm passionate about. I don't have a current full-time job, and I'm just trying to build my business up and being able to educate and inspire women to be better with their money and to have that option to retire early if they want to.
Which is great. So what advice would you give to someone who's young and has like come to this awakening of, I want financial independence, but what do I do?
Yeah, I would say if you have any interest in real estate, get in real estate. Because when you're young and single, it's a lot easier to purchase the property, get roommates, live there for a year, and then purchase another property, move into that one, get roommates, and just continue to do that over time. And you can become financially independent really, really quickly by doing that. And you're not, you know, moving your whole family every time you're doing that, because it's just you. So that's one piece of advice I would give to younger people. And also, just if you don't have interest in real estate, just start investing your money in the stock market as soon as possible, and do it in stocks. I would stay out of bonds, because you are so young and you want to get higher returns. I mean, you can afford to be riskier. So I would say invest your money as much as possible, because that's going to compound over time and you will reap the benefits and be glad that you started as young as you did.
And I know for me personally, because I, being a mom and busy and all over the place, if you are not interested in doing stocks, you can also do index funds, which essentially tracks the large companies like the Google, the Netflix, the Amazons, and you own a little piece of each of these companies. But you don't have to worry about trading. Index fund could track the whole market. So you could have essentially a little piece of all the big companies. And if one falls, then the next one rises up and it keeps going and going. And then you can set it and forget it if you did not want to follow the stock market and actually be more of an active trader.
Yes, I completely agree with that, because I have some of my money in index funds as well. And you're right, it just follows the total stock market and you don't have to worry about it. And you can just kind of put it on autopilot and invest a little bit each month or each paycheck into the index fund and call it good. So I love that strategy as well.
And how are you enjoying your business?
I'm really enjoying it. Right now I've been focusing a lot on my YouTube channel, just creating educational videos about the stock market and real estate and money management. And I'm really, really enjoying that. I love seeing the comments that people post on the videos, just saying that it helped them and they're now interested in real estate or investing their money. So it's been really fun. And there's been trials along the way. It can be easy to get discouraged when you don't see feedback that you want to see, or things aren't going the way you want them to go. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. I really like helping people. So I really love that aspect of it.
Oh, that's great. And I've seen you on Instagram, and I know you're doing a fantastic job and having an impact on a lot of people. So it's wonderful. And I'm really glad you were able to come on today to share your wisdom.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Jen.
Cool. So let's begin our lightning round segment. I will ask you four questions for our audience. What is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
I love tigers.
That's awesome. Please explain more.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I love cats in general, but especially tigers. I think they're so beautiful. And if I could have a pet tiger, I would. But I know that's not really practical. So I'm not going to do that.
Have you gone to any safaris?
No, I need to do that. I've actually held a baby lion before.
Oh, very cool.
Which was, yeah, it was really cool. I really loved that. But I need to do a safari. I would love that.
Where did you hold the baby lion?
I did it on a Caribbean cruise at one of the islands. I can't remember which one it was now, but they had just a little area set up right outside of the cruise stop, and you could just pay extra money and hold a baby lion. So we did it.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you have any photos that you can share?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, send them. We'll post in the show notes. That'll be fun.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Second question. Who inspires you the most and why?
The person that inspires me the most is one of my old bosses, actually one of my mentors, one of the invested in real estate. And I just find him really inspiring because he started multiple businesses on his own and he's so successful with real estate, but he really takes the time to mentor people. And he definitely mentored me and just took the time to answer my questions and just really help not only me, but I've seen him help other people as well. And so he's just not caught up in that success. He's still willing to help people. And I just find that really inspiring.
That's really great. You know, yeah, unfortunately, you don't find a lot of people like that. But when you do, it's great to hold on to them and just consume all the knowledge and wisdom that they're willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, third question is, what book are you reading now or have read that you've loved and recommend?
Right now, I am reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I'm really liking that book. He just gives lots of good advice on creating really good habits and getting rid of your bad habits. So I would recommend that book.
Yeah, it's actually on my list too. I really want to read it. I'm just finishing up The House Hacking Strategy by Craig Curlup, which is also a really great book, but that's definitely next on my list.
Nice. And I'll have to check that one out. I haven't heard of that one.
Oh yeah. He's on Bigger Pockets, which is another great site. You can get it off there.
Perfect.
Cool. Well, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their path to financial independence?
I would say just take it one step at a time, one day at a time. It's really easy to get overwhelmed. And I'm sure, especially when you have kids and a family that you're taking care of. But if you can focus and think, okay, what's one action I can take today to get me closer to financial independence? And just to give an example, maybe if there is a mom that's interested in real estate, for one of the days, she could read a blog article about getting started in real estate investing just for 10 minutes. So really just taking one step at a time, because those really add up over time.
I think that is wonderful advice, really, just how to break down a large, audacious goal into bite-sized pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today's show. It was great having you. How can people connect with you if they want to learn more or get in touch with you?
They can go to my YouTube channel, Tiffany Thomas, Your Wealth Mentor. And I'm also really active on Instagram, or they can check out my website, wealthytiffany.com.
Great. And we'll share links to your sites and to your resources on the show notes.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. It was really great.
Thank you so much, Jen. I really enjoyed this today.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right. That wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Also, if you like today's episode, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps the providers know you are finding value from my content. Feel free to share with friends and family on social media to expand the reach. Share with anyone really who you think could benefit. This is Investor Mama. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you liked today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.